Good evening, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In today's Gospel, we hear the account of Jesus' conversation with a Samaritan woman. The woman had had five husbands and was currently living with a man who was not her husband. Her situation reminds me of our seminary course in Canon Law of Marriage, when we would do case studies of people who had been married sometimes multiple times, and we would try to determine the validity of those marriages in the eyes of the church. And I think one of my favorite stories from that course was about a woman who was a student in the School of Foreign Services at Georgetown. And she broke up with her boyfriend and went home to visit her parents, who were also in the Foreign Service and were stationed in Cairo. And when she was there on the rebound, she married an Egyptian Elvis impersonator. Well, enough said about that. Well, I'm sure the Samaritan woman had some interesting stories in her background too. But although Jesus alludes to her previous marriages, he does not use her past to condemn her, but rather to bring her to a deeper understanding of the mystery of salvation. He begins by asking her for a drink. And the woman is surprised by this, because the Jews were very strict about their laws of purification and would not accept food or drink from non-Jews. But then Jesus turns the situation around and tells her that if she only knows who he really is, she should be asking him for a drink. And the woman is pretty smart, for she replies, "How can you give me a drink from the well? You don't even have a bucket." And then Jesus takes the conversation to a deeper level by explaining that he's not talking about the water from Jacob's well, but about the water of everlasting life. And whoever drinks of that water will never thirst again. Well, the woman doesn't fully understand all this about eternal life, but the idea of not having to keep going to the well sounds pretty good to her, and so she asks for a drink of this water. And it is here that Jesus confronts her with the reality of her own life. Go and call your husband. Beyond the basic facts, we're not told any of the details about the woman's past. We don't know if some of her previous husbands had died or if they were divorced. And we don't know why she was involved with so many men. Perhaps she was searching for love or companionship or financial security. We don't know, and we don't need to know. The woman acknowledges the truth of her situation, and that acknowledgement allows her to understand that Jesus is someone extraordinary. But she is also curious about the religious differences between Jews and Samaritans. The Samaritans lived in the area of central Israel between Jerusalem and Galilee. They were distantly related to the Jewish people, but there was also a long history of conflict between the two peoples. The Samaritans regarded only the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, as sacred scripture. And as the woman said, they worshiped on Mount Gerizim, but the Jews worshiped at the temple in Jerusalem. Well, Jesus is not much interested in religious pluralism. He tells the woman that she worships what she does not understand, but that salvation comes from the Jews. And he tells her further that the time is coming when it will not matter where you worship. What will matter is that you worship God the Father in spirit and in truth. And again, the woman is pretty sharp, for she replies that she knows that the Messiah is coming who will reveal everything. And then Jesus tells her, "I am he who is speaking to you." Here, as at crucial points throughout John's Gospel, Jesus refers to himself by the sacred name which the God of Israel revealed to Moses in the book of Exodus at the burning bush on Mount Sinai, "I am who am." When we accept Jesus as God, our lives are transformed. We are united to him and come to share in his divine life. And as we grow in the love and understanding of God, we begin to see our own lives with all our faults and failures in the light of God's eternal mercy, which redeems and restores us, making us whole again and forming us into his own image and likeness as sons and daughters of our divine Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.